So that's a video from a few years back, and I wanted to return to it because we're going to be talking this morning about listening prayer. And that's a term that's used a number of different ways. I thought I made it up and I had something in my mind, and then it turns out like everyone uses the same phrase. And so it means a whole lot of different things. I'm just going to talk about one thing that it can mean this morning. Listening prayer, it's a way to recognize and cooperate with the spirit moments, with the God moments. And when I say God moment, spirit moment, what I don't mean to imply is that other moments at church aren't God moments, so that the Spirit's not at work in these other moments. I'm just saying there's certain moments that God had in mind that we didn't know about in advance. And if we come in so set on our plan, sometimes we can miss the fact that maybe the Lord had something else that he also wanted to accomplish. And so we're the sort of church where we're trying to kind of cooperate with the God moments. We want to find these God moments and partner with them. We have a phrase that we use when we're talking about our language of trivergence, which is the coming together of gospel, word, and spirit. When we talk about the spirit aspect of trivergence, we value being empowered by the Spirit. We anticipate at any moment, any believer could be used as God's conduit for grace. We're in a series right now on spiritual practices. And we have borrowed a definition that says these are practices based on the lifestyle of Jesus that create a time and space for us to access the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, and in doing so, be transformed from the inside out. And transformation is a key part of our mission. It's the reason that we're connecting people to Jesus through truth, community, service, and spiritual practices, because there's a transformation that happens. And when it comes to these spiritual practices, the language of our core values says that transformation happens as we embrace habits that place us before the Spirit who changes us. These spiritual practices are a way to access a power from outside of us that work on our heart and change us from the inside out. And so in these past few weeks, we've been looking at some of these practices. We've looked at reading the Bible. We've looked at praying the Bible. We've looked at meditating on the Bible. And this morning, we're going to look at something. I'm not sure if I would categorize this as a spiritual practice or how to use the spiritual practices when it comes to service and community, which are also values that we have. But I don't know a better place for this to fit in than this morning, because everything that we've been talking about for the past 3 weeks is the foundation for becoming mature in what we are referring to as listening prayer. And so here's, I think, what I want to make sure that we don't think that the spiritual practices are only something that kind of dead end with us. They're only for our own heart. They are only for our own transformation. Because when you meet with God, not only is he transforming you, but he's also equipping you to be a means of his grace to others. So you're not only taking in the word and praying the word for yourself, you're also taking in so that there can be an overflow that comes out of you to others. And so I'd like to talk about not being a dead end when it comes to spiritual practices, but being a conduit. So in Ephesians 4:29, we read, Paul says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths." And he says, what should come out of your mouth? It's only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. But God is going to speak through you to give grace to others. Like when you meet with God, when you dig into the word, God's equipping you to be a means of his grace to others. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says we are to encourage one another and build one another up. It never says like it's just Barry on the stage or just a couple paid staff. They do that, and make sure you let them build you up. Now, this is something that we are all to be in together. There's a spirit-prompted speech that is to characterize the church of God. In fact, as the church gets born in Acts chapter 2, this is one of the first things that's announced. So in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is poured out. They speak in tongues in the upper room. Peter is preaching to thousands of people, and he explains to people, here's what's happening. As God is forming his church, that's day one of the church, here's how Peter describes the church of God. He quotes from the prophet Joel. This is Acts 2, 17 and 18. He says, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares," and this was written way earlier, so Peter is saying, we're now in the last days. Might not really feel like we're in the last days, because we tend to think of the last days as the week before Christ comes back. But when you consider from Genesis all the way until the church was born, like that was, the promises are finally coming true. The church age, that is the last days. And here's what characterizes the last days, God declares. "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Now, don't see the word prophesy here and kind of get the wrong idea. So Peter's talking about something that's going to characterize the entire church age. And what he's not saying is that every believer is going to come down from Mount Sinai with stone tablets like Moses. He's not saying we're all going to be the sort of prophet that calls down fire from heaven like Elijah. He's not saying that we're, you know, every single person is going to predict the future like Isaiah. What he is saying is that all Christians have the Spirit inside them, empowering them to speak his truth in a way that manifests his grace and builds people up. There is a Spirit-empowered speech that we all have. And I think a lot of times when the New Testament talks about prophecy, sometimes it's referring to the kind of the capital P prophetic, like Isaiah, and when Isaiah prophesied, it became Bible. But that there's a lowercase p, a Spirit-empowered speech that's for all of us. An empowering from the Spirit, speaking through us, manifesting his grace through his people in a way that builds others up. God gives grace through the words of his people. And if you've put your faith in Christ, you are his people. Like this is what happens because of what Christ did. Because Christ went to the cross, hung there for our sins, anyone who puts his faith in Jesus receives the Holy Spirit. That's what Peter's talking about in Acts chapter 2. He's saying, you're wondering what's going on here? People trusted Jesus. Jesus died. He died for our sins. He took the punishment. So there is now a relationship with God, and it is so intimate that God comes and he takes up residence in you. And one of the benefits of that is that there is an empowering in each and every believer to be used by God. There's an empowering in each of us to minister in a way that gives God's grace to his people. So I want to ask the question this morning, okay, God will use me, he'll use my words. How do we know what to say and when? I'm just going to give one answer this morning. So this isn't like the only way. I want to talk this morning about listening prayer. Listening prayer. And I'm just going to give some practical steps. I'm going to talk about engaging with God, being alert to what stands out, filtering your thoughts, and then speaking out. And if we have time at the end, I might also talking about receiving from others. These are not necessarily linear, and I'm going to, when I start breaking it down, it might sound a little bit academic. This actually is a very intuitive process, but I just want to put some guardrails in, give some encouragements along the way. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll jump in. So Father God, we are grateful. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are the people of your presence because you take up residence in us. And when we speak your words, it's not just human. There is a dual voice happening. Lord, you are speaking through your people. So Lord, teach us to cooperate with you. Teach us to partner with you. Teach us to be skillful when it comes to encouraging and admonishing and exhorting one another. Teach us not to be dead-end Christians when it comes to the spiritual practices, but to be a conduit. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. First aspect of listening prayer, engage with God. Engage with God. And in particular, to begin with, engage through spiritual practices. So this is what we've been talking about. So there might come a time when you're in your connection group, it's like, okay, we're gonna do some listening prayer. What's supposed to happen right then? You are to begin praying the way we've been talking about, praying the scripture. You're to maybe open up your Bible, begin meditating, go to a psalm, begin looking through the psalm, see what's coming to mind. You're to begin reading the Bible, or maybe you're singing a song. I mean, this is the sort of thing that can happen during worship after a sermon. You're singing a song, but you're also engaging with God, and you're listening. There's a kind of a conversational aspect to the way we've been talking about doing these spiritual practices. So take the things from the last 3 weeks and begin to engage in them. And now here's where I want to add something in a little new. As you engage through spiritual practices, engage with others in mind, not only yourself in mind. So there's a couple errors. One error I have to be careful of is that I don't only read the Bible in order to preach a sermon. So I'm not only engaging with spiritual practices in order to minister to others. So that would be one mistake, is to only read the Bible in order to get something for kids ministry. But then there's another error to where the spiritual practices end up dead ending at you, and you're getting built up and strengthened, but there's not an outflow. So engage with others in mind. And it may be that you're in a connection group and there's someone who needs prayer. And before you start, you just pause and you're quiet for a minute. And you start meditating. You open up your Bible. You think about that psalm that you were praying. You might be engaging with God with a specific person in mind. Sometimes, we used to do this at our connection group. We'd really no ground rules. We're gonna take 5 minutes and we're just gonna be quiet, begin to engage with God, and then we're gonna see where does the Lord take it. And it happened so many different times that five or six different people in the group would actually have the same person coming to mind, oftentimes without even knowing what was going on. Like the Holy Spirit was coordinating, he was orchestrating. So in those moments, if it was just open, I would just start praying for this person, I pray for that person, then I pray for the next person. And I just start going around the circle, and sometimes I'd be praying for one person and like, it feels fine. Like, it's good to pray. But then I get to one person and like, oh, this prayer is different. Like, this one stands out in a different way. And we'll get to that in a minute. You want to be alert to what stands out. But engage with God, but engage with others in mind. And so it's not just about you. I remember when I was in the early days of Connection Point, and we were getting to Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, I was really intimidated to preach them because I knew we had people from a whole variety of backgrounds when it came to the spiritual gifts, and I knew that since I was kind of taking a middle road, it was going to be new to pretty much everyone, like that I wasn't saying this or this. I was like, God, is this the stupidest vision for a church ever? Like, that we're going to be word and spirit? Is this ever going to work? Or have you just given everyone a reason to opt out? And so I was just praying. I was shamefully lacking faith. I was intimidated. I was nervous. I was having a really hard time. I was over at Dickie's barbecue, bolstering my soul. As I was praying, I had my Bible out, my computer, I was just prepping. All of a sudden, I got a text from someone in California, and he's like, you know what, I was just praying, and I was praying for you, and I just feel like I am supposed to tell you right now, like, whatever it is that you're doing, God is in it. Keep going. Don't give up. I was like, oh my gosh, right as I'm praying, like, God, am I supposed to be doing this? Am I on the right track? So I found out, like, he's like, you know what? I was walking around. I was just praying. I kept seeing people that looked like you. And so I just decided I was going to start praying for you. And then I sent you that text. And so we laugh. But I actually just want you to like have a sense of something might stand out in just a very seemingly random, silly way. So do not pray for someone because it was random and silly. Or is it always okay to pray for someone? Might God use you know, someone walking around California and, man, that looks like bear. That looks like bear. That looks like, I better pray for Barry. And as he prays for Barry, actually, this prayer came up. I'm going to let Barry know what I was, like, that strengthened me so much. Engage with others in mind and then engage with anticipation. Don't disqualify yourself from being used by God. It's the Holy Spirit in you that qualifies you to speak. It's Jesus who died on your behalf who qualifies you before God. It's not some supposed spiritual merit badge that you've earned that qualifies you. Ministry is not just for stage Christians. It's not just for paid staff. It's not just for someone who's been with God for two decades and now you can finally start. No, ministry is for all Christians. Like no one is above receiving ministry from others. I never get to the point like, well, okay, I'm the pastor, so do listening prayer, but don't talk to me. Like, I'm really glad that Janelle and Holly didn't consider me off limits. Like that, I needed that. No one's above receiving ministry from others, and no one's excluded from ministering to others. So because we're all empowered by the Spirit, we can anticipate that at any moment, God can use any believer as his conduit of grace, and this includes you. So I want you to hear this morning, you can be used by God. So engage with God. Engage through spiritual practices. Engage with others in mind. Engage with anticipation. And then number two, be alert to what stands out. You say, well, what might stand out? And I'm just going to read some scriptures, and I just want you to note the great variety used to in the Bible to describe the type of words that you might end up speaking. So starting in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. 1 Corinthians 14:26, I think I left out a number. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn or a lesson or a revelation. Let all things be done for building up. It's like all these different types of speech to build other up. Also in 1 Corinthians, back in chapter 12, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, prophecy. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another. Build one another up. Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another every day. Not just a Sunday thing, not just a group thing. So I just want you to notice this great variety, and over through the New Testament, there is an encouragement to the people of God. Hey, you're in the last days now. The Spirit's poured out on all flesh now, not just a couple people who speak God's truth anymore. We all have this kind of prophetic witness. So when be alert to what stands out as you're engaging with God. It can be a whole lot of different things. I've always liked to think about them as sermon elements. So most of the things that I would ever end up sharing to someone in a listening prayer setting are the sort of things I would do in a sermon. So for starters, there's a sermon text, and that's actually the most foundational. Like, you're not going to get very good at listening prayer unless you're diving into the Word. The better you get at the Word, the more potential you have to become skilled at listening prayer. So there's a scripture text. But then also when I preach, I give different illustrations. So sometimes I might share a picture that illustrates the truth. Or I might give an analogy. Sometimes I've got a song or a poem or a story. And why am I sharing those? Because, I think Mark's about to fall asleep over there. I better stick in a story. No, I'm sticking in a story because it is in some way illustrating God's truth. It's in some way helping people to understand God's truth. And so what might come to your mind first might not be a scripture. You might have a picture or an image or an analogy and say, God, is this from you? Is this in some way illustrating some truth of scripture? Is this in some way going to help someone lean in to a Bible verse or something that you've revealed? So any of those might come to your mind. It might be an application that comes to your mind, like a specific way to live out God's truth, a specific way to love or a specific way to obey. It might be a well-crafted sentence or strategic question that comes to your mind. I was doing listening prayer once, and God spoke something to me, and it really changed the trajectory of my life. The reason I knew it was God is, like, I don't, like, talk to myself this way, and nor would I have been very happy to have this said to myself. So I was just in my prayer time, and all of a sudden this sentence just popped into my head. Barry, you act like you care, and you want to be perceived as one who cares, but you don't really care. And I was just, the Lord was showing me, I was so caught up in the whirlwind of ministry that I was forgetting about the people that ministry was designed for. And that really shifted the trajectory. And God was like, if you're going to be a pastor and if you're going to continue on this path, this has to change. So it might be something like that. Like, can I prove that that was God? No. Did I need to hear that? Yeah. It might be an encouragement that comes to mind, an admonishment. I always say, as your starting point when you're practicing listening prayer, pray a scripture. Like, the more we're connecting things intentionally back to the word, the better. So if you're not sure, just start praying a psalm over someone, praying a psalm over a situation, and just note, be alert to what stands out. And you say, well, how might it stand out? And it differs by person. It differs by personality. It may be that there's a verse that just really seems to fit the moment. You're reading through Psalms, and you're thinking about, you know, Ian, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so perfect. And you've got a verse. Now there's something that came to mind for Ian. It may be that when you start praying quietly inside, you know, I'm praying for this person and this person and this, I got to the third person, and all of a sudden my prayer just, like, I love praying this. Like, this is good. I have words to say. Like, why is that person so different than these two people? Maybe God's doing something right now for that person. Maybe God intends something in this moment for that person. You might be in the moment and all of a sudden you have a strong compassion or passion or concern for something, and you're like, I don't, what's going on? Like, I've never cared this much before. Like, I've never really had a heart for that, or this never bothered me before. Like, don't assume that just because you had an emotion, like, oh, emotions are suspect. Like, when you're in a prayer time and all of a sudden you have a strong emotion for something, most times you should lean into that, not lean away from that. God might be cluing you into something through your emotions. Now, there's a kind of an opposite error, and that's to deify your emotions. Just because you feel something strongly doesn't mean it's God, and that's kind of the way our culture is. So we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. On the one hand, God might be, like, all of a sudden, if he gives you his love for someone, like, pray from that. But then also don't assume that everything that you feel is God. Like, we don't base our faith on our feelings. There might be a truth that all of a sudden becomes precious or seems to hold more weight than normal. Like, I've heard the language, sometimes you're reading the Bible and there's a verse that shimmers. Like, oh my goodness, this verse is amazing. Like, I love this verse. And it's not that it's a better verse than all the other verses, but somehow that verse is precious. Like, don't ignore that. The Spirit is going to be cluing you in. Sometimes you'll get this little flutter in your heart when you think about sharing this. Like, oh no, I don't have to do it. Not me this time, right? Like, someone else is supposed to share something, and you'll have this little nervousness about a certain sharing this with that person. And a lot of times there's this kind of God's like kind of pushing you out of your comfort zone. So just be alert to that stuff. It's going to be different for different people, different for different personalities. For some of you, it might be a very logical thing. Maybe because you're logical, or maybe the fact that something really logical came to your mind and you're not that way at all is what lets you, you know, it might be something very practical, it might feel natural. Just, you kind of have to learn by doing. So just be alert to what stands out. So engage with God, be alert to what stands out. And then once something stands out, so what now? Well, before you just jump out and share, filter your thoughts. And so there's kind of three filters that I keep in mind. So the first filter is the scripture filter. So you're going to ask the question, does this align with scripture? And I just need to hear this really clearly. I hope it's obvious, but I'm not going to presume. Nothing that contradicts scripture is of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when Paul here is actually talking about prophecy, if you don't like the language prophecy, that's okay. Just the application here is the same. He says, if anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, If anyone thinks he's operating in a spiritual capacity, Paul says, that person should acknowledge the things I'm writing to you, which was the Bible. He was writing Corinthians, which became scripture. The things I'm writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. In other words, there was an apostolic authority, a scripture type authority that was to reign over any subjective thought that anyone had. And Paul expected that those who saw themselves as prophetic or saw themselves as spiritual, he expected them to subject themselves to his writing, to the scripture, to the apostles, and nothing has changed. Still today, any supposed leading from God, any supposed prompting that you're wondering if it's from the Lord, it's subject to the Bible. So once upon a time, one function of the Spirit's leading was to actually prompt the writings of the scripture. But that function of Spirit leading is past tense. Like the Spirit himself inspired Jude to write. Jude said, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. So there is a once for all entrusted truth that the scripture has. And this once for all means that there's not something new coming that needs to be added to the Bible, that's on par with the Bible, that modifies the Bible. So here's how I put it. Spirit-inspired speech will contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted. It won't contend with the faith that was once and for all entrusted. Anything that contends with scripture, it's not the Spirit. It should be rejected, should not be shared. The Spirit will never prompt anything in contradiction to scripture. No true prompting will establish new doctrines or modify existing doctrines or give new morality standards not already in scripture. So I don't think we're going to go down that trail into that mess, but I wanted to be very clear where I stand on that and what I think the Bible says on that. But what the Spirit will do, he will give promptings that encourage us to live according to the truth that he's already revealed. J.I. Packer puts it this way. He says, ordinarily, a prophetic revelation is a God-prompted application that in general terms had been revealed already, rather than a disclosure of divine thoughts and intentions not previously known and not otherwise knowable. See, Barry, what's he talking about? So here's what he means. The Bible tells you to make disciples. Very clear. Well, it might be a spirit prompting that shows you who to disciple. Because the Bible doesn't say, Berlin, you're supposed to disciple Patty. It tells Berlin to disciple. And then it's the Spirit prompting that might direct you to. The Bible tells you, go into all the world and make disciples. Well, a Spirit prompting might show you which part of the world to go to. The Bible tells you not to neglect church, not to neglect gatherings. Well, it might be a Spirit prompting that shows you which church to be a part of and not to neglect. The Bible tells you, love your neighbor. Well, Spirit prompting may give you ideas on which neighbor to love and how to love them. And so this, when we're talking about Spirit promptings, we're talking about how do we encourage one another to live according to scripture? How do we encourage one another to live out what the scripture says? Most often, God is actually going to give you a verse that fits the occasion and you share that verse. But sometimes he's going to give you a picture or an analogy or a song or an application of how to live out that verse. So filter your thoughts. First, we filter using the scripture filter. Then we use the edification filter. Edification, like what's edification? It's something that builds up. It's something that strengthens. And through either bringing encouragement or bringing comfort or bringing conviction. So Paul talks about this in Corinthians 12 and 14 when he's talking to a church about how these kind of spontaneous subjective elements that are part of church life. He says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And so that common good, think, for the edification, for building up. And then he gives more details in chapter 14. For example, he says, the one who prophesies speaks to people, and this is what edification is, for their upbuilding, for their encouragement, for their consolation. Later on in the chapter, he says, if an unbeliever or inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they're convicted of sin, as the secrets of their heart are laid bare, so they'll fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. And so this edification filter, you're asking, is this something that matches Scripture and it will encourage, or it will comfort, or it will convict? And if the answer is no, then don't share it. Don't share it. There's another filter I want to mention, and it's the privacy filter. So you may have something from the Spirit that might comfort or convict, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's okay to share in front of others. So some things are personal and should stay private. Normally, God's not invading people's privacy, but sometimes he does. In fact, I'll share one in a moment that I was involved in. Publicly sharing something that's negative, publicly sharing something that's private, is almost never the answer. I know there's Ananias and Sapphira and Peter revealed and they fell down dead. So I'm not, never say never. But in general, if God shows you something, he might just be asking you to pray for that person, and you might not even need to talk to them. A lot of times when the Lord shows you something, it's just something to pray for. Or you can go share one-on-one with the person. I had an illustration where I was in a group, and there was a guy, I didn't know him very well. I think it was the second time I met him, and he was just sharing how he didn't seem to be able to connect with God. He didn't feel like he could relate to God and hear God, understand God. And as we were talking, I just had the thought, he's in porn. And that was just the wrong place to share it. But when the meeting was done, I said, hey, can we go for a little walk? And so we just went for a walk. And it's like, as you were sharing, I just thought, it's like, are you into pornography? And he's like, how did you know? He actually said, are you a prophet? Like, no. I've come to learn that I probably could have asked that same question to 8 out of 10 guys, and the answer would have been yes. But in his case, God was directing attention to something that was a roadblock in his own spiritual growth. And so that would be an example of sometimes God may have something that you should talk to someone about, but it doesn't need to happen in front of the group. So if what stood out to you when you were engaging with God, if that passes through all these filters, the Scripture filter, edification filter, privacy filter, it's very likely that the Spirit has given you words that would give grace to those who are present. And so that brings us to number 4, which is speak out. Speak out. And I'm going to share just some thoughts on speaking. So for starters, speak from faith, not from fear. There's this question that tends to cause people to cancel themselves, and the question is this: what if this is just me? If that's your primary question, you're going to get crippled when it comes to practicing listening prayer. A much better question is, what if this is God and I say nothing? That's the question I'd rather have you ask. What if this is God and I say nothing? If you have used the Scripture filter and the edification filter and the privacy filter, the fear of missing it is significantly overstated. So Janelle shared, like, I think I should share Barry that I'm praying for peace and that God will keep him, Isaiah 26:3. Now, let's just suppose for a moment that that was something, a verse I hadn't been thinking about. And Janelle just came up with that by herself in her natural strength. What got hurt that she shared that verse with me? Like, nothing. She shared a scripture and spoke truth. That's what we're supposed to do. Like, who cares if it's like, was this natural or is this supernatural? Is this perfect timing? Did I get the exact? Like, just forget that stuff. We're supposed to be encouragement to one another. Right. We're supposed to speak truth. So who cares what it's called? Who cares? Is this an encouragement? Is that a prophecy? Is this, am I a prophet? Is this an exhortation? Is this an admin? It doesn't really matter. Like, are you trying to build people up or not? And so I don't care what it's called. I just care that we're cooperating with the Spirit. And if you're speaking truth or you've got a verse and it seems to fit the occasion, like, you should be thinking, what if this is God and I say nothing? My concern right now is that in Christianity, I think there are many, many, many Christians who just disqualify themselves or don't think that God would use from them. It may get to the point where we got so many people with so much to say that we have to figure out, okay, how do we take turns? How do we, Paul actually gets there in Corinthians 14. He's like, okay, two or three of you can share, and if one, a new one, someone else has something to say, and the first one needs to be quiet. At the moment, we're not dealing with this. Wow, we've got so many people trying. How do we figure this out? I want you to start thinking, like, what if God wants to use me and I'm saying nothing? I actually think that more often than not, this question, what if it's not God? I think more often than not, I'm as gentle as I can. I'm not mad at anyone. I just want you to think and ask, is this true of me? I think there's a deeper prideful question that might be deep down, and it's this: what if I look foolish? And if you're not willing to look foolish, you're already doomed. But if you're willing to fail forward, you will grow. And as you grow, you'll become effective at listening prayer, and you'll become more and more effective in building others up. So speak from faith, not from fear. Speak naturally. Don't try to sound supernatural or impressive. Don't try to prove, no, I really think this one. I really think this one's the Lord. Like, just be natural. When God's at work, even a simple, quiet truth has power. Let the Spirit be the source of power. Don't try to church it up. Don't try to, just be like very simple. Like, hey, as we were praying, I had this verse come to my mind. Thought it might be a blessing to you. It's from Isaiah chapter 26. And just read it. Man, I had this thought come to mind. And I would just like to pray this for you, if that's okay. And not, the Lord hath said unto thee. And now I kind of make fun. I'm not, once upon a time, King James, that was the language of the church, and the preaching style was kind of like that. So sometimes you'll come across a kind of a former generation, and they're actually being authentic to them. So I'm not, don't knock it or assume that that was a bad thing if you listen to that, some older style stuff. But that's not really our culture. So like, we need to be, just speak like you. Like, what does an excited you sound like? Or what does a you who's trying to bring comfort sound like? Just be natural. We don't need to say, I've got a vision, or I had this prophecy. In fact, I encourage people to speak without controversial terms. And so I think words like prophecy and vision and revelation, I think they come with a lot of baggage. I actually try to avoid them. I think God can still do that, and I think those are the words Scripture uses. But unless I have a time to explain to someone, like, hey, I'm not, when I say prophecy, I'm not talking about something that needs to be added to your Bible. I'm not talking about predicting the future. I'm not talking about a big hair guy on TV. I'm not talking about stone. I just don't like to use the term. Take it or leave it. The Bible uses it. I'm not going to be mad if you want to use the terms and you understand. They're kind of likely to be misunderstood. So I tend to say, speak without controversial terms. Speak with humility. Like, really, please don't talk like you're coming down from Mount Sinai with new stone tablets. It's okay to speak a little tentatively using words that leave room for dialogue. You can say, like, hey, maybe, perhaps, see, like, talk in such a way that's encouraging dialogue, letting people talk about the Bible together, pray about things together, giving people permission to disagree or push back or ask questions. Like, you don't want to imply that to question you is to question God. And so some phrases I found helpful, hey, I got this verse that came to mind, thought it might be helpful. It's tentative. There's some humility there. It involves dialogue. It's not me trying to take some position of authority. Sometimes I'll be like, hey, it seems perhaps like maybe you should consider, or I just have the sense that maybe, or this thought popped into my head, I thought it might be encouraging. So just speak with humility. Speak in a manner appropriate to the level of certainty. So like if you're sharing a verse, we can be like really dogmatic. That doesn't mean that you should speak it in an abrasive way, but we can be dogmatic about Scripture. We need a little less dogmatic about which Scripture might fit the moment, and then far less so, just about a picture or emotion that came through. So the way you describe something subjective should be different than the way you read Scripture. A fleeting emotion that is on a different level than, hey, if the angel Gabriel appears to you, okay, like, you can probably speak with a little bit more confidence, and, that's different than what I tend to experience. So, speak in a manner appropriate to the level of certainty, and then speak with a willingness to be weighed and to be silent. Paul actually says, when he's talking about this sort of speech in 1 Corinthians 14, 29, he's talking about prophets, don't get caught up in the language. Notice what he says to the prophets. He says, let two or three speak, and then let the others weigh what is said. And if a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. So Paul's not actually questioning here, hey, weigh if they actually are a prophet. He's saying there is actually, so even if someone has a track record of speaking on behalf of the Spirit, you're still not supposed to throw your brains out. You're supposed to weigh. You're supposed to sift it. You're supposed to compare it to Scripture. You're supposed to see, is this what God says? And then he actually says, at times, there would be legitimate spirit prompting that doesn't need to be shared. Look at that. If the first person has something from the Lord and they're sharing it, and then someone else gets someone from the Lord, Paul's like, hey, that first person, okay, you can be done now, and this next person can come. And if like six or seven people have something from God, that's too many. We're just going to cut it off at three. And so actually, when we do this, if you get good at listening prayer, every single time you're sitting in a room like this, if you start praying for people and opening up your Bible and praying, every single time you're going to get to the point where like, I should share, this would be a good verse for that person. Or this, I know what's going on in Roland's life. This verse would be perfect for him. Every single time. Something like that's going to happen. It doesn't mean that all 250 of us need to come share all the verses that came to our mind. So speak with a willingness for people to consider. Does this verse fit the occasion? Speak with a willingness to be silent. Sometimes there's no more time left. Connection group needs to be done. And there's kids and babysitters that people have to get to. And there might be three or four people that still had a verse that they didn't share. That's okay. Like, the Spirit is, there's abundance. Like there's way, he's going to do way more than we might have time for. All right. So that's speak out. And so that's in general how you do listening prayer. And then I want to just give a couple comments on receiving from others. So Paul says over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. And again, when you hear prophecies, don't think stone tablets, Isaiah, wearing a leather garment. Think, is someone trying to be led by the Spirit and encourage you with their words? It's like, don't treat that with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. So if someone's going to share an encouragement with you or a verse with you, here's what you do. According to these verses, we receive it with actually a little skepticism. That's what, when Paul says test them, when he says weigh what is said, when he says reject every kind of evil, what he's saying is be a little skeptical. He's saying don't be so open-minded that your brains fall out. That's not quenching the Spirit. In some circles, to question anything that's done in the name of the Spirit, it's like, no, we can't quench the Spirit. Like, no, the Spirit wrote this. The Spirit says, here's how you cooperate. Like, you weigh and you test. If you don't do that, you're quenching the Spirit. And so if someone comes to you, you're supposed to be a little skeptical. So consider the content. Use the same filter you would for your own words. Is this biblical? Is this building up? Consider the source. So receive from others does not mean believe every wacko. Maturity varies. Some people are mature in God, some are not. Some have years of practice speaking God's truth. Others have none. Some people are humble. Others are proud. Some people are loving, others are controlling. Some people are gentle, others are angry. It's okay that you receive a word from your connection group, you know, leader or your pastor more readily than some guy who walks up to you on the street, because that your connection group leader and your pastor, they've hopefully built up some trust and credibility with you in a way that person on the street has not. Now, it doesn't mean that that person on the street's wrong, and it doesn't guarantee you that your connection group leader is right, but it's actually okay to be cautious. It's okay to be a little skeptical. So consider the content, consider the source, consider your inner witness. You're not bound to obey and submit to something that's subjective. Now, if someone comes with you a Bible verse and you're disobeying the Bible verse, You don't just consider your inner witness. Well, how do I feel about adultery? I feel okay about it. I'm considering my inner witness. That's not what I mean. And in most cases, as we do this, what we're talking about is sharing a verse. But at times, God may give you a thought that leads to a verse. And so if someone leads with a thought and not with the scripture, that's where you need to kind of be thinking these things through. And so just ask God, Lord, is this from you? And if it's from God, he's totally willing, able to make that clear. He's not like playing hide and seek, and it's really hard to figure this out. I remember when I was getting ready, I've told the story before, I was getting ready to go ask Indian Trail if they would help me to plant Connection Point. I was out having a prayer time the morning. I was going to meet with the elders, and I was like, God, I think I'm praying that I would have, I'm praying for clarity on what to ask them so that they understand what I'm asking. And I'm asking for an open door that they would just say yes. And it's like, I think I'm praying for the right things. I think that should be the focus on the meeting tonight, like what I'm asking, and that their willingness to say yes. And as I was having this prayer time, I got a text from someone I hadn't talked to for months, and it said, hey, Barry, I was just praying for you, and I felt like I'm supposed to pray that you would have a clear, open door moving forward. And I got that, and I was like, this is going to happen. I went into that meeting with so much faith. I felt like the Lord said, don't worry about it. I got this. Don't stress about it. Just go share everything that's on your heart. And there was a confirmation. It wasn't like, I was already thinking this, praying through this. I think I'm supposed to plant. I think I'm supposed to be with them. I'm not 100% sure, but like, Lord, is this you? And then bam, that comes. Okay, I think I'm on the right track. So receive with a little skepticism, consider your inner witness, but also receive with a general openness. So when Paul says, do not quench the Spirit, our first question should be, how might we do that? And then he explains, do not treat prophecies with contempt. And I prefer the language of listening prayer. Again, I think prophecy is kind of an umbrella term for a whole bunch of different types of speech that the New Testament describes. And so he says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat this kind of subjective, Spirit-led, prompted speech with contempt. In other words, he's saying we are supposed to receive with a general openness. Otherwise, we are quenching the Spirit. So openness doesn't skeptically reject anything that's subjective. Openness is not predisposed towards contempt. Openness doesn't demand apostolic level anointed in the one who is sharing. So if any gift has to match that of the apostles in order to be considered genuine, we might as well just conclude that all gifts have ceased. Like, I've never had 3,000 people converted in one day as a result of my teaching like Peter. And so if he's the standard, then I don't have a teaching gift. So don't disqualify others because they're insignificant. Don't disqualify them because they're unproven or new or immature in this. Like, everyone starts somewhere. And even the immature Corinthians, I've been reading a bunch of verses from Corinthians. This was the worst church the New Testament describes. They were messing it up all over. They had some, one of their members sleeping with his stepmom, and the church was okay with it. And they were messed up with the way they were using tongues. And if there was ever a church where Paul would say, hey, just quit all this stuff, it would be them, but he doesn't. He's like, let all things be done. But then he starts talking about how to do this in a way that's orderly. Here's the filters, here's the process, here's the procedure. He doesn't disqualify the Corinthians just because they're immature and in the flesh when they're doing this. He's like, yeah, they have legit spirit stuff. They just need to grow in understanding how to use it. So don't disqualify people just because they're new or figuring things out. Everyone starts somewhere. Even the immature Corinthians had genuine gifts offering. Don't tune out because the delivery was poor. Sometimes people say things wrong. Sometimes emotions make things cloudy. And so to test something, it just means we're supposed to sift out that which is helpful from that which isn't. Hopefully you do that even when I teach. Hopefully you compare what I teach to the scripture, and when what I say matches the Bible, you go with it. And if what I'm saying today, if you can't see it in the texts, like you get to sift that right out. Take what's true, it matches scripture, sift out the other. It's not, Paul doesn't say, hey, test everything, and if one little part is wrong, throw the whole thing out. He says, no, sift the good from the not so good, hold to that which is helpful while discarding the rest. Don't auto-reject everything just because one part didn't get said right. Like, there might be a baby in that bathwater. So be open. Openness is eager. It's eager to listen. It's hopeful. Openness is hopeful that God is speaking. It earnestly desires God's leading. So if someone wants to pray for you or someone has a verse for you, like, invite it. Don't be offended like, oh, you think I need a verse. Oh, you think I'm one of those people who needs prayer. Yeah, you are. We all are. That's them trying to be obedient, not them putting you down or trying to put themselves above you. Openness is willing to receive grace through others. Paul writes in Corinthians 12, the eye should not say to the hand, I don't need you. Reject the lie that me and Jesus are enough. Reject this lie that I just go to God and he talks to me through the Bible and it stops there. Reject the lie that says God wouldn't give grace to me through others. Like, a big part of how you receive grace from God is through the giftings of those in the body of Christ. That's why we need to be together. That's why we need to gather together. So that's listening prayer. We ask all of our connection groups to do this. In fact, we ask that within a month of in the fall and a month of starting in the winter, that there's supposed to be a night just to get people back on the same page with this. If you're like, wait a minute, my group leader didn't do that. They may have forgotten. Don't get mad at them. Just remind them, like, this is a part of our culture. This is something that we're leaning into. When the sermon's over and we're singing, this is a time when you can pray for someone. You can be engaging through the song. Open your Bible as we're singing. Sometimes we do songs that have some repetitive moments for the exact purpose of, that's a moment where if you want to engage your mind or pray or open your Bible, like, we're trying to build in these moments where you can be praying, thinking, engaging, and you can actually, during the song, just go pray for someone. We have a prayer team up front. This is what they do. If you come up, you can share what your prayer need is, but they're going to be like, Lord, what verse should I pray, or is there an encouragement, or they're practicing listening prayer. That's what happens. So, you can do it. You can do it. Use the praying the Bible. Use the reading the Bible. Use the meditating on the Bible. Engage with God. And then as things begin to be highlighted, just ask, Lord, is this something that I should be sharing that will be a blessing to someone? Amen.